Isn't this a sports show?
Listen, so today's show might be bad.
Almost entirely.
Next hour, I was going to say we'll do entirely sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God forbid this is the first time you've heard this show in any way whatsoever.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Oh, Deshaun, I love this. You're the future.
This is my Twitter impression.
Oh, Deshaun Watson, you're the future. I love how you're going to dethrone Tom Brady. You're the new king of the AFC.
He throws a pick.
Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so we've had a chance to sleep on it another night. Do you feel better yet? I'm not sure that I do. I don't. But I have thought about the Chiefs a little more. We'll talk about that throughout the day. College football championship was last night. A couple of things we're going to discuss from that, but probably not the typical talking points from a college football national championship. Shouldn't surprise you. We'll also talk about KU later, other things, other nonsense, as it crosses our bow. But this morning I was doing a little write-up, kind of yesterday's show, a post over on Arrowhead Addict with yesterday's show. And it made me rethink through a bunch of the things we talked about yesterday and a bunch of the things going on with this Chiefs franchise. And the headline I ended up writing was How to Change the Chiefs After Another Playoff Meltdown. And then I kind of realized after I'd written that it is about fundamentally changing some things about this team, right? I guess if you really, really wanted to take that to the bank, then you would say you start by changing the head coach. It's the most fundamental change you can probably make. But it's not going to happen, and we'll talk again about Andy Reid in a little while. But there are so many big chunks of this team that are going to change. And the wild thing about it is that you're going to have changes that come with a team that actually is changing its head coach. The Chiefs are going to have more turnover this year. Seriously, think about this. The Chiefs are going to have as much or more turnover this year than anybody else in the AFC West, and they just won the division. Think about that. You say, oh, the Raiders are changing their head coach. They are. And there's going to be a new coaching staff, but Derek Carr is still going to be there. They're going to have most of the same pieces. They're going to be doing some building. But they're not poised to take a step backwards because of that. Not really. The Chargers seem to be pretty much holding steady, which can't be thrilling if you're a Chargers fan, but whatever. The Broncos are going to have a new quarterback, like the Chiefs will.
Will they, though?
They will, I promise.
Will they?
Will
it just be one of the three that they cycle throughout the
year? Yes, okay. 100%.
So they'll have him for like two games.
There will be a new quarterback on the roster who will rotate through with Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, and Brock Osweiler. And Chad Kelly, and then also they're going to draft like, I don't know.
Two others?
Two other dudes, yes. Okay. And not anybody at the top. Not anybody at the top of the draft or anything. There's just a couple of dudes. There's a guy in the third, a guy in the fifth. But they're not changing coaches. The GM is still there. They're still trying to advance on where they are. Again, Raiders changing head coaches. John Gruden introduced today. We'll talk about some things gone on with John Gruden. But they're trying to move forward. Khalil Mack is there. Derek Carr is there. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree are there. They're trying to take a step forward. The Chiefs are going to have the greatest potential for a step backwards. Now, I think the step backwards will be specific and meager. But we have a whole offseason to talk about that. But just as of today, the Chiefs are going to have as much turmoil as anybody else in the division. Because they're going to start a quarterback who has started one game that essentially ended up being an exhibition game. They're going to have a new offensive coordinator behind Andy Reid, looking over Andy Reid's shoulder. And it's either going to be a running backs coach, Eric Bieniemy, or it's going to be an outsider. In my theoretical world that I'm building here, they're going to have a new defensive coordinator. And they're not going to... He's not going to make Britt Reid the DC. If Andy Reid makes his son the defensive coordinator after his son has been a poor defensive line coach, my head will explode. I shouldn't say he's been a poor defensive line coach. I don't know if he's been a good coach or not. The defensive line has been disappointing. It is underachieved. But Alex Smith will be gone. Bob Sutton should be gone. Andy Reid's not going anywhere, nor should he. Because Andy Reid, and again, Dave Tobe could be gone. Andy Reid is going to be the one bit of consistency on this team. You're going to lose some Ring of Honor guys on the defensive side of the ball. The quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. I want to hit pause on this point, though, because Beards was looking at his phone and, like, laughing. Why are you laughing at your phone?
We're covering the wrong thing today. We should be talking about the Big Baller Brand tournament that's happening in Lithuania.
Yes, the referees literally have the Big Baller Brand logo on their backs. It is a perfect... Have you seen that visual yet?
No, I haven't.
It is a perfect
visual. Why aren't we talking about that?
Second hour. I actually am interested in the way that NBA coaches are getting mad at ESPN for covering LeVar Ball. Listen, Steve Kerr. You don't seem to like what Donald Trump does very much.
Stan Van Gundy.
You don't seem to like what Donald Trump's doing very much.
Rick Carlisle.
I don't know what Rick Carlisle's political stances are. I'm narrowing this to Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr has been critical of Donald Trump, who is critical of the media that covers him. Hey, Steve Kerr, how about you don't tell the media what their job is? Who they're not allowed to talk to? That's a teaser for my take for later.
Well, I hate to tell you, but Steve's not been the angry one there.
I thought Steve Kerr had been angry. I thought he released a big old statement.
Not over the Ball family. That's been more Carlisle and Van Gundy.
Okay, someone else released a big old statement.
Van Gundy.
Was it Van Gundy?
That he was going to boycott all the ESPN press conferences he does.
I didn't read the whole thing. Okay, great. All right.
Also, Carlisle.
Get out, Beards! How did I let you know? Bad. Sit. Stay. How did I let you do this? I was on a Chiefs point. Get back! Rick Carlisle. How dare you? I think you're about to yell something into the microphone. I think your microphone might... Yeah, it's still on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Get out of here with your NBA interference you're trying to run on the show. Whenever I'm clearly sputtering and gasping for air, then you inject that into the show. Not yet. I'm fine right now. Float LeVar Ball out here in the second hour of a Thursday show. Oh, I'll be all over it. I'll be thanking you for your contribution. Anyway, the crazy thing about the Chiefs, guys, is that seriously, Andy Reid is going to be the piece of this organization that doesn't change. So if you're upset with the status quo, as I, of course, am, and as you, of course, surely are, you don't have to clean house completely. Also, we have to discuss how detrimental it would be to Alex. Oh, my goodness. I caught myself. I almost said my ex-lover's name in bed. How detrimental it would be to Patrick Mahomes. Oof, close one. To have to have learned this Reid system for a year and then switch to something else completely. It would be devastating. You don't want to make him Alex Smith or David Carr or any of these quarterbacks that have changed systems 15 times. Stability is good for a young quarterback. So there's going to be a turnover. But Andy Reid's not going to be a part of it, nor should he. He is the consistency. The playoff thing is a problem. The second half of the playoffs is frustrating. Although Matt Nagy said today in his introductory press conference with the Chicago Bears that he called the plays throughout the second half. I will choose to believe Matt Nagy, I suppose. I don't know why I wouldn't. But there is going to be an offensive status quo shakeup because it's Mahomes coming in for Alex Smith, and it's either Eric Bieniemy coming in to be the offensive coordinator or an outsider, either of the two bringing fresh eyes to an offense that needs some fresh eyeballs on it. And it's either going to be a run-first in-house guy or a total outsider. Both of those things will be very good for Andy Reid. We know exactly what Alex Smith is. That is an obvious place where this is going to turn over. It's just time to see what you've got. Again, this was my argument in the preseason. And I ultimately am fine with how things played out, I suppose, as a whole. Because it did help Alex Smith's trade value. And it did give Mahomes a full year to learn the verbiage of Andy Reid's offense and to get comfortable in it. The analogy we used several times was, you know, you have to learn the lines of the play that you're in before you can really focus on your acting. Mahomes had 16 weeks to learn his lines. And then whenever he started performing in week 17, it looked really, really good. With really, really average surrounding talents. So was starting Mahomes, or not starting Mahomes and sticking with Andy Reid, with Alex Smith, my God, I'm all over the place with these names today. And Andy Reid sticking with Alex Smith, was that the right move? That's going to be partially a results-based answer. If Mahomes is really, really, looks really flustered and rusty next year, maybe go, oh man, we sure could have let them burn off his rookie season last year. That would have been nice. If he comes out and looks sharp and comfortable, then we're going to go, oh man, it's good that he spent that year behind Alex Smith, learning from Smith, and getting comfortable in the offense. So it's partially going to be based on the results. The other good part of the results, though, is that Alex Smith now is worth something. Let's say Alex Smith is worth a second-round pick now, which I think is very fair. I think it's a very fair expectation, especially for a team like Cleveland with 1,000 picks right now. So if Alex Smith goes to Cleveland or Arizona for a second-round pick, the Chiefs free up $17 million, and that's $17 million more dollars in talent that you can use to surround the rookie. That's pretty solid business right there. And we gave Alex Smith, really, I think you could have argued, 2 years of, all right, what last try? This year certainly was that, with his best supporting cast. And his best season, of course. But a playoff that ended predictably. And again to Bob Sutton, I just don't think there's any realistic argument you can make for keeping Bob Sutton. It's the constant inability to react to an offense that's doing something different than what you expected. It's the constant underperforming. It's going back to a thing that wasn't working. The Chiefs are playing a ton of nickel packages. They couldn't stop the run. They switched back to more base stuff. And then when they got to the playoffs, they went back to more nickel. And then Derrick Henry ran all over them and the season ended. I haven't gone back and watched that Steelers playoff game at all this year because that's a hard thing to convince yourself you want to go find and do. But I'm guessing that Bob Sutton had a very similar personnel stubbornness problem in that game as well, where the Chiefs got beaten the same way. And again, if you haven't read it, Sam Mellinger's story on Sutton I thought was great. There's a paragraph here. It says, Reed must soon come to the cold and unemotional conclusion the Chiefs need a new voice for the defense. That needs to be part of the change. Only part of the change. Alex Smith must be replaced by Patrick Mahomes. Offensive line coach Andy Heck needs to make a convincing case to keep his job. And no position group on the team underperformed as much as the defensive line coached by Reed's son, Britt. And Mellinger is harsh on Andy Reid as well. And I say harsh with statistics. Not harsh in, you know, personal attacks, just stats. The stats for Andy Reid are harsh. But this Bob Sutton decision, this is going to be a place that impacts my judgment on what Andy Reid is. Because he said, you know, I got to do better. We got to do better. This can't be the ceiling for us. Blame's on me. I got to do more. And I've wondered often what that looks like for Andy Reid. So what do you mean we have to be better? What does we have to be better look like for you? This is the answer. It's pulling the trigger on changing his quarterback, which he's going to do. It's pulling the trigger on firing your son or letting a new defensive coordinator fire your son on the defensive line. It's firing Andy Heck, and it's certainly firing Bob Sutton. So whenever Andy Reid says, I have to do better, it seems, at least according to Matt Nagy, that Reid fully handed over the play calling duties. And I imagine it's really frustrating for Andy Reid for the offense to still fall short again. So Reid needs to find his play caller again this offseason. Bienemy, outsider, Mike Kafka, Michael Vick, other former Eagles quarterbacks. Make Nick Foles retire and come do play call plays, I don't know. Reed needs to find his play caller. He needs to find the new defensive coordinator. He needs to make the change at quarterback. And then I will be able to, with great confidence and no questioning, I will be able to feel as if I can fairly give Andy Reid the compliment of, you know what? It was on you, and you are being better. I don't think that Andy Reid can control this entire team. I don't think any head coach can control his entire team. I think he can directly impact the people around him and choose the people that are around him. Bill Belichick has kept his quarterback happy, and he's managed the people around him very well. And from everybody from Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel to Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia, these guys all do great things around Bill Belichick. If it's not working, you make the change. That, I think, is a very fair bar to set for the fortitude of an NFL head coach, especially one that everyone thinks is great in Andy Reid. And it's going to also happen with Brett Veach to some extent as far as changing the direction of the franchise. We'll talk about that whenever we come back from our commercial break in a minute here. But I think this is a new barometer we can set for Andy Reid. Is he going to make the difficult staff changes where he actually can say, I have to be better, and here's how I'm going to do it? I think that's where we're headed, or at least where we should be. You can always tweet me, at JB Briscoe. We have the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City, or you can just go to Facebook and search for ESPN Kansas City and watch the show. You can comment on the show. Sometimes I remember to look at the comments. Other times Beards reminds me. Sometimes we both forget.
You have one today so far.
What does it say?
Actually, you have two.
What do they say?
Clinton says no, just straight off the bat.
Boy,
from
okay.
the beginning of the show.
All right. Can't remember what that was about, I guess. Don't remember asking a yes.
How do you feel about the about? Do you still feel bad about it?
Do you still feel better? Do you feel any
yeah.
better?
Do you feel
right.
any
yeah,
better?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, got it.
And then Donald says you like Rex Ryan as the DC.
I love,
no question mark, just you like Rex Ryan as the DC.
I love Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan and Chuck Pagano, I will tell you, I love irrationally. Because... Now, this could either be a good thing or a bad thing, but I promise you, if Rex Ryan or Chuck Pagano are hired as defensive coordinators of this team, what day do coordinators usually speak? Is it Tuesdays or Wednesdays? Do you remember? Tuesdays or Wednesdays this year?
I think Wednesdays, because that's when we'd try to go to lunch and you guys were always out getting Chiefs audio.
Right, okay. So let's say Wednesdays. We would just lose 6 minutes of show every Wednesday because we would play the Rex Ryan and or Chuck Pagano press availability in its entirety every Wednesday because those two men are magical on the microphone. They need to be discussed along the likes of Dave Chappelle in the comedy world or Kendrick Lamar in the music world. These are the great entertainers of our time with a microphone in front of them. And I will hand this show over to Rex Ryan or Chuck Pagano whenever they please. I also like the idea of Jack Del Rio. I think that would be kind of a baller move to just pull him over from Oakland. Mike Pettine's name has come up a few times. And those are all just former head coaches. If there's a guy in a coaching tree somewhere where Andy Reid looks and goes, oh, you know what, this is an up-and-comer that I want to give a shot to, I'd be willing to have that also. If it's an ex-head coach, I won't be able to really complain at the front end of it. And if it's some 30-year-old linebacker coach from Pittsburgh, I will not be able to complain about that either, because I will say, you know what, Andy Reid sees something in this dude, and I like the idea of trying to find the young up-and-comer. I would be, and this is a little bit not really blunt or short-sighted. It's just, this isn't the most logical statement I've ever said, but I'm going to just kind of be happy with anybody at this point. I'm going to be happy with a change, and then I'll evaluate them and I'll find all their flaws. But at the front end, there are plenty of options where I would be excited. Just the whole way through. Also, I mean, man, how fun would Rex Ryan press conferences be?
Especially compared to...
I know. The upgrade. The upgrade. The press conference upgrade.
Well, as far as injuries go.
Bob Sutton also would just, like, look at the ground whenever he would talk. I don't know why. And I speak about him in the past since now as if he has passed on. Still employed by the Chiefs, as far as I know.
And alive.
Yes, an important clarification. Also a worthwhile one, because currently on NFL Network in front of me, they're talking to Mark Davis, who is currently with the Raiders, but I'm not sure that he's living. Also, just an atrocious child haircut.
There was a great picture on Twitter I saw of him and John Gruden at their press conference. and then next to that was the two Spider-Men pointing at each other.
Yes, that's good. I saw one last night of the two
Spider-Boys
pointing at each other, and one of them just had the Georgia Bulldogs logo over their face. The other one had the Atlanta Falcons logo over their
face. Yeah, I saw that too.
That one was also pretty funny.
Also, wasn't the Chiefs lead 21-3?
Yeah, it was not quite as bad.
No, that is true. It wasn't for a Super Bowl.
Right. Well, it wasn't 28-3 either. The Falcons blew a 28-3.
Oh, 20, that's right. Okay.
Also, again, I cannot stop looking at Mark Davis and just thinking, I guess money cannot buy you everything. And also, he has apparently, like, impeccably straight and white teeth. Get some hair plugs, my dude. Or just
do something else.
Or shave your head.
Yeah, just do something else.
Just be kind of a gross-looking skin hump. Don't have that. You know what he looks like now? He looks like if Caillou grew up and did meth and then got fake teeth.
I was going to say like a thumb with hair on it, around it.
Yeah, so Caillou.
Yeah. That works too.
Yeah. Also, Mark Davis told somebody that hiring John Gruden was a big effing deal. Which is just like exactly what Mark Davis would say about them hiring John Gruden. Oh, God, I was going to say all right, but I inhaled too fast, and I think there's a spider in my lungs.
Too many spider boys.
Beards, tell everyone that whenever we come back, we're going to talk about all of the things the Chiefs can change with their cap situation for next year.
Ditto.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? On ESPN Radio that gets popped up here in a little bit? Too many spider boys.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So to try to stop the hacking that I was doing, I ate a Russell Stover caramel milk chocolate Santa that has not only been in my bag for a while. Oh, I found a little piece. I'm just going to eat this. It's been in my bag, I believe, for a flight to Phoenix and then from a drive from Arizona back to Kansas. It survived that whole drive and was not, like, exploded into a thousand little crushed tiny pieces. The problem, though, is that now instead of having inhaled the spider or whatever happened the first time, I'm now choking to death on, like, the foot of a caramel Santa, a chocolate-covered caramel Santa.
This is what happens when you eat those after Christmas.
I'm in the Christmas.
It's stale. It's out of season.
I'm in the Christmas spirit still, Beards. You've got to be, man. So, I'm going to tell you about all the ways the Chiefs are going to change here in a second. But this feels like an okay place for a detour. Just stick around.
Sure.
If you're listening to this because you're really avid Chiefs fan, you want like a bunch of information and stuff, listen, I'm so there with you. But you've been through a hard few days. So let's take a break and talk about Christmas. We'll get right. I have some math for you on money the Chiefs can save against the salary cap this year that they will certainly do. We're going to do that math in a little bit. We'll do the math live on air, so we will make lots of mistakes. But, so I live in a house with four of my friends, and we had a Christmas explosion, because Renee just came over at one point and was just, like, hanging up lights, and she bought a Christmas tree from Savers, and there were just, like, 1,000 cut-out paper snowflakes. She just started putting penguin wrapping paper on the walls. Not like the whole way through. It's kind of like one sheet around kind of like the whole house. There were like streamers up and stuff. It was just very, very festive. And the cold is, you know, obviously terrible. But it's not so bad whenever it's cold out and you walk inside. And you got Christmas lights up, and you got a Christmas tree, and you got stuff under the tree, and snowflakes cut out of paper. It helps the Christmas spirit. You walk in, and you go, "Oh, I'm gonna make a mug of hot cocoa, and we're gonna enjoy the chill together." Well, as soon as you take down all the Christmas stuff, then Kansas is just the worst. Winter is the worst because you just freeze to death. And you walk through, like, salt and sand on the roads and just slushy and everything is dirty. And you just freeze to death. So, all of this to say, Beards, I like to keep a caramel chocolate Santa in my backpack for emergencies. Maybe a marshmallow chocolate Santa as well. Renee started taking down all of the Christmas decorations in the house. And I was like, well, why don't you leave up the cutout snowflakes First of all, this house is filled with snowflakes already. We're all millennials. Second, it's a nice little winter surprise. There's a wintry mix in the house now. It's not Christmas anymore, but it's a little bit festive. So it's not so damn just drab and dreary. That's why I'll eat a Santa-shaped candy after Christmas. My Christmas spirit doesn't end in December. I can't let it, or else everyone will die in January. It's the worst. Does my explanation justify this to you?
I guess.
Thank you for your contributions.
Yep.
What are you doing that's so much more interesting than this show?
I was looking at the comments. There's been a flood lately.
You can always watch the show on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. Like the ESPN Kansas City page. Or, you know, go to Facebook. And
also, I was replying to an email from Ben.
There it is.
Yeah.
You're replying to an email instead of listening to the explanation.
Sorry for doing work during job.
This is your work. What is more important than... What was the email to Ben about?
I'll talk to you during the break. I think it's about you as well, so.
Great. Is it a good email?
I don't know. We'll see. Also, no, we're not selling couches. Yet.
New year, new show.
They're in the warehouse.
Well, this is a new person, though, also. How did the... Wait a second. No. No, 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 no. How did the couches get back today? What happened? We also have more people watching than usual.
I know, it's really strange.
And there's a clear couch connection. My dad also commented actual sports things. What a fool. And so there'll be an extra $17 million in cap space, but we still need to replace the quarterback with one or two other quarterbacks. So what will it take to sign the backup? What will it take to get the backup quarterbacks? Tyler Bray costs $3 million. I mean this in all seriousness. A stylistically perfect backup to Patrick Mahomes. Do you know what I'm going to say, Beards?
Is not Tyler Bray?
No, not Tyler Bray. There is an available, stylistically perfect backup for Patrick Mahomes.
Does he have a giant afro?
He does have a giant afro.
Is his knee really sore?
No, because he hasn't been in the league for a good year.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So he's probably worked it out plenty.
Does he like to wear headphones that the league doesn't sanction?
Yes. What a great way for you to pick out the least controversial controversy about Colin Kaepernick. I'll say his name. He's not Voldemort.
See, I was going to be funny, then throw some random name out there at the end.
That would have been, yeah. Sorry, you're right, that would have been funny. Like, oh, wow, I didn't know that Trent
Kyle
Duffer,
Orton!
I didn't know that Kyle Orton was still in the league. So I'm always going to be disoriented whenever the comment section becomes about couches.
Is it the weirdest running gag that we have that is just out of our control?
Yes, 100%. Yes, it's so
strange.
I don't
know how this keeps happening.
It's so strange.
Especially by random people that we don't recognize their names in the comment section.
Yes, I don't know these people in real life. These aren't my friends trolling me. We'll go through all the guys that are going to be out here in a second. This is ridiculous. It's so disorienting. What was I talking about?
Stylistic.
Oh, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Kaepernick would require. It's probably $2 or $3 million, maybe three or four, if you want a sought after backup quarterback. And they're probably not going to sign Kaepernick because because people suck, I guess. I don't know. You don't actually want to win if it means having Kaepernick on your team. I don't know. But he would be stylistically perfect. He's a veteran backup that would play very much to Mahomes' style. The offense wouldn't have to change very much if Mahomes missed a game or two. It just makes sense. Sorry, it just makes sense. They'll probably draft another quarterback, I would say, or bring in an undrafted free agent, a guy that can try to develop. But if Mahomes gets hurt next year, they're probably screwed.
Question.
Unless they sign Kaepernick, who is a starting caliber quarterback.
Or question, Robert Griffin.
Griffin, so actually, we talked about this at one point, like a couple weeks ago, I feel like. There's a higher, the hierarchy of of mobile athletic quarterbacks that would kind of make sense in order goes Kaepernick, Robert Griffin, Johnny Manziel.
And that's, man, a sharp drop-off.
All of those would be so dope.
For different reasons.
For different reasons, yes. Kaepernick is by far the best of those quarterbacks. He's the best quarterback that's available in the open market.
Sure,
are you kidding me?
Sure. Griffin also doesn't come with a lot of controversy. Like, yeah, he's the
cleanest of those two, yes, for sure. Yes. Also, the one of the traits you want to have in a backup quarterback is he's not going to get hurt on his first play, and that is the question that you would have with Robert Griffin.
That is also true.
I'm guessing they bring in one guy kind of like that, and then draft a guy and carry a third quarterback who try to be their new Tyler, their more successful new Tyler Bray.
Griffin was out of the league in 2016, was his last year.
People are going to still somehow argue that he's a better signing than Kaepernick, and then I will just child please at them, like Chad Ochocinco. So there's your backup quarterback talk, because that's where I expected to end up today. The last two comments are just, the couch is disorienting, and I thought this was a couch show. Ridiculous. What a ridiculous show. Okay, listen up here, you damn furniture hounds. We're going to take another commercial break. I would just have thrown to a break, but Beards is straight up not paying attention.
I'm listening.
I believe that you're listening. I don't think you're Charlie. I just think whenever your eyes are off, I can't do the thing where I just wave at you to throw to a break.
I have peripherals, you know.
What was that word?
Peripheral vision.
I don't think that you just think that word is spelled differently than it is. Say it one more time.
Peripheral.
No, it's peripheral.
Whatever.
No, it's important. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about all of the ways in which the Chiefs can create more cap space and then how many couches the Chiefs can buy with all that cap space. New question in the comments. How many poundings can the couch take? I don't even know what that means.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I hate some of you.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Couches. I can't explain why that's true. Just not really sure.
It just happens sometimes.
Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes this show just becomes about couches, and not even because we try to make it.
It's just a swap meet in the comments.
Yeah, which is great. Go get yourself an ottoman.
Why are they called ottomans, by the way?
What were you going
to
say?
I would think that would have something to do with the Ottoman Empire.
Sure.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Yes, obviously. But sorry, I should have clarified that. I knew freaking that.
Sure. Okay, but what I was going to say was, I think we've limited the swap meet to couches, ottomans, and waterbeds. Was that it?
Those are all definitely often present.
Yeah. But I think that was it, though. Like, we kind of limited it just to those.
We could open it up if you want. If you want to install a fireplace in somebody's house, you can do that. The ottoman gets its name from its exotic origins. The low seats, or hassocks, were imported from Turkey during the 1700s when the area was part of the Ottoman Empire, and caught on in European salons. The term covers a wide range of styles, the most familiar being a footstool or padded bench used with a chair or as a makeshift coffee table that doubles as seating. Ottomans, throughout design history, have assumed a multitude of shapes and functions. Close enough to an answer. Have I talked about this? Stuart has commented, I just came here for shucking oysters live and pearls. Have I talked about my disdain for those videos here, Beards?
No.
I've thought of... He lives in my head. There are these videos that occasionally pop up on Facebook of just, like, middle-aged women shucking oysters in their living room and taking pearls out of them.
Okay, why?
Well, because I think they're also selling them, Like, there's just, like, this... you look this up, Beard. You try to figure out the origins of this. I've never looked it up. I just always block those pages or mute those pages whenever they come through. Where just these women are just, like, they shuck an oyster and they go, oh, look at this pearl. And they do it for more. I'm like, oh, not one here. Oh, look at this pearl. And I think it's just, like, something that you can sell. But I'm really confused by it. And I really... They're not in any way, shape, or form entertaining, so maybe I should get into them. But they are just so odd to me. It's always a woman in a dimly lit room shucking oysters.
BuzzFeed headline, pearl parties are taking over Facebook Live, but buyer beware.
Right, okay, what the hell is that?
Are live streams of people opening oysters showing up on your Facebook Live feed?
Yes.
You're not alone.
When is this article from?
This is from May of 2017. Old news.
Man, I want to talk about the Chiefs cap situation. Go ahead.
Let's see here. A new twist on the old school Tupperware party has been flooding Facebook timelines with multi-hour live streams of people popping open oysters to reveal colorful pearls nestled inside. Pearl parties follow a basic formula.
Why?
I don't know. The host opens dozens of oysters, each of which was purchased by a party attendee. People typically pay around $20 per oyster.
What?
And get the pearl in return. Some companies that run the parties change anywhere from $29 to almost $200 to sell the pearl as an item of jewelry.
Beards, I'm so confused.
This is like almost as confusing as the couches.
Why is this a phenomenon? Why is this replacing Tupperware parties? How does a pearl party work?
I don't know.
All right, Beards. All right, listen to me.
I'm listening.
Listen to me. Before today's show is over, I need you to go find someone who hosts these pearl parties. I want to talk to one of them. Not even a company. Just find someone who's done this before. And I want to talk to them for 5 minutes at the end of the show today. I want them to explain a pearl party to me. I'm dead serious.
I almost want, for like next time or whatever, we just have oysters in here and just as a face.
It'd be hilarious. Yeah. No, 100%. I'm very on board with that. But I need you to find me just one of these women who shucks oysters and pops out pearls. I need you just to call one of these women. And ask if they will come on the radio and explain pearl parties to me.
Also, do you want a quick Chiefs segue?
Sure.
Chiefs expect to name Eric Bieniemy as new offensive coordinator from Rappaport.
Hey! All right!
Talk about Chiefs.
Interesting, but not stunning. So we just had discussed that I figured it would be Bieniemy or it would be someone from the outside. And it makes sense that it's Bieniemy. It's a guy that Andy Reid trusts within his own system. He continues to hire from within his own tree. And it isn't surprising. It makes sense. From Rappaport, they're in talks now, so it should happen in the next day or so Matt Nagy's replacement. Yeah, that's fine. This is fine. I would have been okay with a young guy coming from the outside, although Bieniemy's not very old, I don't think. And... it'll be interesting for it to be someone that I would assume that he would trust. This is a pretty quick move. Reed could have afforded to taken a couple of days and interview some other people. Bieniemy is 48, and so it kind of makes sense that he would say, you know what? It makes me feel good that he would say, nope, don't need to bother to go interview some former head coach or whatever who's fallen back down from the mountaintops. He's saying, let's go straight to the guy that we know. That's very interesting. Good update, Beards. What a well-rounded show we're doing.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, but...
It's been a pretty well-rounded show.
It's definitely round.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
This show is a pearl, damn it. I want to tweet about this so bad, but I can't because we're on the radio. I'm trying to type and talk at the same time, and I'm not capable of doing both of those things.
Okay, Charlie.
Could I get some music for Facebook commenters try to sell pearls and couches as I type a tweet?
Mm-hmm.
You should have put the mic by your keyboard so we could hear the click, clack, clack.
I hit enter along with the beat of the closing of the music there. I've tweeted, this makes total sense. Good news that he trusted him enough to give him the job right away. Exciting to have a run-first OC who can push Reed in the right Kareem Hunt direction.
Oh, I thought you were wanting to tweet about Pearls.
Oh, yeah, I tweeted about that while I was talking. That didn't require as much brain power. I don't know why. I mean, I guess we'll just talk about the salary cap thing next hour. all right, I'm glad that news broke while we were on air. I'm sure people are tuned in to this station to hear us talk about it. And really, someone probably heard about it and then tuned in, and we were literally talking about Pearl parties. Also, I don't think it is, but does the phrase Pearl parties sound dirty to you?
112%.
Okay, I was starting to realize as I said it more and more, that Beards was getting kind of outwardly uncomfortable with that as a phrase. And I've realized, like, yeah, it does sound like a dirty thing.
Yep.
I hope it's not. I hope we haven't broken any FCC rules accidentally.
Okay, Google. Urban Dictionary pool.
No. Pool, yeah, urban. You said pool.
I did. I didn't mean to. Well, I'll get that figured out during the break.
Fantastic.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
If you're just joining us today, we are talking about where the Chiefs go from here, the turnover within the organization. We're trying to get to the bottom of what Pearl parties are. Going to talk about the Chiefs cap situation in a little bit. But we have breaking news. The Chiefs are expected to name Eric Bieniemy, current running backs coach, the offensive coordinator of the team in the coming days. So I've had a chance to think about this a little more during the break. Feel free to just, yeah, stop the music, Beards. Don't, no need to fade it out or anything. Just cut it off completely.
I did fade it.
Didn't sound like it.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
God, you can be such a brat sometimes. Anyway. Again, I think it's good news that Reed seemed to just give the reins to Bieniemy right away as if he was the obvious successor. My concern was that Reed was going to feel like he had his hands tied after Childress retired. And so I'm really glad to see that Reed seems to not want to hesitate here. Also, if Andy Reed trusts Eric Bieniemy enough to give him that offensive coordinator job, I'm betting slash at least hoping that Reed also trusts Bieniemy to steer him in the right direction whenever he starts to get off track. But I would be very surprised if Bieniemy calls plays day one. Perhaps Reed shares the fact that the idea that maybe the thought is that Reed will call plays for the first 4 to 6 weeks and let Bieniemy get used to that side of it and then let Bieniemy take over. I don't know if that's realistic or not, just an option. I would be surprised but happy if Reed would turn over the play calling duties, though, because it just seems like this offense has worked better whenever that's been taken out of Reed's hands. Also, I assume that Andy Reed's job is relatively easier whenever he doesn't also have to call plays. So, totally fine with the hire. Again, the only drawback is that you're not bringing in some outside eyeballs. Also, apparently Drew Locke is returning for a senior season. Huh. I'm just making sure this isn't like a fake Drew Locke account. Seems legit. So that's good news for Missouri football. Bad news for the Broncos, who totally would have taken him just a little too soon. Anyway, the only real downside I think you can see with the Bieniemy thing is that it's a guy in the organization after the offense just sputtered in our most recent viewing of it. But I think to indicate that this offense needs a dramatic overhaul outside of, you know, the quarterback changing is a little bit of an overreaction. So I'm on board with the Bieniemy move. I think this makes a lot of sense. Also, later on this week, we'll hear some sound from Eric Bieniemy earlier this year. We're going to play it today or tomorrow, but we haven't gotten to it. We're not going to get to it today, I'm guessing. But Bieniemy talked to the media like twice all this last season, and it gives you a chance to hear the next offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. Maybe we get a little bit into his mindset offensively, and I'm sure he'll be made available to the media in the next, sometime later this week probably. I wanted to talk about the Chiefs cap situation, though. This was a place we wanted to get to like an hour ago. Not an hour ago, 30 minutes ago. And we've just gone into some ditches, which, again, I welcome wholeheartedly. All about finding the iceberg. But the Chiefs are currently $8 million over the salary cap. And by the way, all these numbers I'm going to give you is courtesy of Over the Cap, overthecap.com. And they have a Chiefs page, and their 2018 page is all there. They currently have the Chiefs at $7.899 million over the cap. And sometimes trying to do two windows at once is detrimental to my production. That's what's currently happening. But I went through all of the obvious cuts that the Chiefs are going to make, or the trades, and these are all as pre-June 1st moves. Some of the numbers might wiggle around a little bit as post-June 1st cuts or designations. But through over the cap and as a pre-June 1st cut, especially Alex Smith is going, I think, need to be traded sometime in the month of February. I think March 1st is his first bonus from the team. Although they're going to have to pay him the prorated signing bonus of $3.6 million, regardless of when he is on the roster, as I understand it. But here are the names we've discussed already. These guys are not going to be here next year, certainly not their current number, okay? Alex Smith, Darrell Revis, Dee Ford, Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali. Also, Dustin Colquitt is a free agent. But of these guys currently on the roster, again, these numbers all courtesy of Over the Cap. Getting rid of Alex Smith will save the Chiefs $17 million and cost them $3.6 million in dead money. Cutting Darrell Revis, I don't know what the setup is that where Over the Cap got these numbers from, but their information is good. Would save $4.5 million to just not bring back Darrell Revis, essentially. Cutting Dee Ford saves $8 million. That one has to happen. The only way it doesn't is if his injury is severe enough that he can't return in time for next year, in which case the Chiefs would be locked into all those $8 million. That would be a big blow. Derek Johnson would save $8 million, cost $2.25 to pay in dead money. Tom Bahali saves $8 million, costs $1.7 million. Now, if the Chiefs currently $8 million over the salary cap, this would save $45 million. That is a hefty chunk of change. And they're going to have to pay their rookies. They're going to have to get back up to the cap. But let's say they need to allocate $15 million of that away, which is, I believe, hefty, especially without a first-round pick. But $15 million to their over-the-cap space already and then signing their rookies, the Chiefs are going in the next year with $30 million of spending money. That is a cornerback and a pass rusher. Or it's a cornerback and extending Marcus Peters. Maybe if they get a little crazy, you could cut Eric Fisher to save $10 million on next year's cap and costs $4 million in dead money. Alan Bailey could be cut to save $6 million and cost $2 million. the Chiefs are going to have a very interesting offseason where I know that Brett Veach would prefer to go ahead and do this through the draft and maybe go try to find some more Reggie Ragland's, guys who are being undervalued by their current teams, and bring them in for low draft picks. But the Chiefs have some spending money. Peters is the obvious candidate for paying more money to. And I think this is the first offseason that his contract can, that he actually can get an extension. But even then, the way that this contract is currently set up, they wouldn't have to pay him an extra dime this year if they didn't want to. Depends on how they structure it. Eric Fisher had a poor season, but I don't think they're going to go spend money on a left tackle. I think they're going to say, hey, Patrick, watch your back. This team desperately needs another pass rusher, and it really, really needs a second corner opposite Marcus Peters. If these numbers all hash out about according to plan, the Chiefs are going to have the room to do that. Now, they're still going to have to go get a punter. They're going to have to fill out the bottom of their depth chart. They're going to have to bring in another inside linebacker. They're going to have to bring in, again, the corner and the pass rusher that basically take Revis and Ford's spot. They're going to have to bring in a backup quarterback. Colin Kaepernick would be perfect to be behind Patrick Mahomes, I'm just saying. Another pass rusher to fill Tom Bahali's spot. Some defensive line help. They're going to need another big interior defensive lineman, Benny Logan, will not be on this team next year unless they re-sign him. His number is not included on this. Again, the numbers I've given you have been with no one coming back next year that's a free agent. You know, no one locked in. They're going to need a big interior defensive tackle, a pass rusher, and a corner. The bad news is there are plenty of places on this defense that are going to need to be upgraded. The good news is they're going to have the space to do it. So I think you should be feeling pretty good about how this pans out. We'll spend more time on this, I mean, through this whole off season. We're gonna do Chief stuff, you know, like every day to some extent. It's not gonna be 2 hours every day. But we'll touch on what's going on constantly throughout this year. We'll talk about this more in depth all throughout the off season. But if you want a chance to have your palate cleansed after a really bad weekend, you don't have to dwell on that loss for too terribly long. That's one thing for me that's made it a little bit easier, is I'm excited about Eric Bieniemy being the new offensive coordinator. I'm excited about them eventually firing Bob Sutton and bringing in a new defensive coordinator. I'm excited about the day that we get to talk about Rex Ryan being the new DC of the Chiefs. The offseason market's going to be wild. Eventually, sometime in the next month or so, month and a half, we're probably going to see Alex Smith traded. Certainly before the draft. It's a good time. It's going to be a good NFL offseason, which we can only beg for because the alternative is talking about the Royals and KU basketball, which we'll do here in a little bit. You have your finger on the microphone button, Beards. Have you gotten in contact with anyone from a pro party?
No. Charlie's here, though, and he was telling me about KCI now has a nonstop flight to Iceland.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I've heard people talking about this. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Why not?
Is it
Charlie keeps yelling derail the show behind me.
I'd seen it. I didn't find it that interesting.
Let's go to Iceland. Broadcast from Iceland.
I would do a remote from Iceland.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It's very random.
Wednesday from Iceland.
Yeah, it's very random. So is doing a show from Menards.
That is also true.
Which we did.
Uh-huh.
To
mixed results.
Have you not contacted someone from a pearl party yet?
Because Charlie's here. And he's distracting me.
Okay, well, Charlie, bleep off. We're trying to get in touch with Charlie couldn't hear because Beard's mic was on. I said, Charlie, bleep off. We're trying to get in touch with someone from a pearl party so they can explain this pyramid scheme to me. Charlie seems confused as to what a pearl party is. Yeah, we know it sounds like a bad thing. We know. It doesn't sound good. Have you not seen this? Have you not seen just like random middle-aged women in poorly lit rooms opening oysters on Facebook Live?
I mean, the extent of it is you guys talking about it on my way in here today.
Okay, well then you've been brought up to speed.
Right. And but I missed the part where you guys looked up the Urban Dictionary definition and what it actually is.
We didn't. Yeah, Beard did that off air.
So should it remain off air? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Yes, Charlie, everything on Urban Dictionary remains off air. I had this conversation with one of my housemates a couple days ago. You could, if you went on Urban Dictionary and you're like, what is a unicorn cloud? It'd be like, oh, well, it's whenever you bleep your bleep by bleeping the bleep. And it's like, oh my God, Urban Dictionary, how do you do this? Nothing on Urban Dictionary is safe for air, Charlie.
Also, I Facebook searched Pearl Party. The first thing that came up was a page called Pearl Party Scam. So there you go.
It's got to be a pyramid scheme, man.
What is wrong with you? I just asked a simple question.
You asked a dumb question, which is, did you read the Urban Dictionary definition? I'm going to go ahead and see if Unicorn Cloud is on Urban Dictionary and just see if... Oh, there's not. Thank goodness. Well, I'll add it. And I'll just use the word bleep excessively. What is the most... I'm trying to think of what the most like innocent thing we could search on Urban Dictionary would be, just to prove the point.
I'm sure there's a list somewhere on the internet of top 10 worst innocent things on...
I don't want that. I don't want that. Stop flipping me off, Charlie. Like, here, let's search. No, nothing? I wanted to search puppy cuddles and just see if there was a bad version, but it's not. So puppy cuddles and unicorn clouds are the only thing on Urban Dictionary that isn't that doesn't have a dirty, terrible definition. Well, I just hit random just for kicks, and it just took me to something very basic and not great. I just wanted a random word. Oh, no. No. I don't know how you thought this was going to go, Charlie. But this was a bad idea. But now also, just to try to help you, the listener, peek in here in the theater of the mind that we do, Beards and Charlie are both just on their phones for some reason. And I don't know why.
We're Urban Dictionarying.
Oh, hold on. I just thought of something that might be good. Although now the Facebook comments... No, come on, Wi-Fi. Do your best. Mitchell has said that Tyreek runs so fast because you know that Patrick is after his pearls.
So Shane just came in and he looked at us. He was like, "Oh, you guys know, right? It's official." And we're like, "What? What do you say?" He's like, "Miami." I'm like, "Oh yeah, we know." And he's like, "Okay, I just want to make sure you guys weren't doing like a completely random show or whatever." And I was like, "Nope, totally not going through Urban Dictionary right now."
What's a pearl party?
We covered the Miami thing pretty well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We got to it like right as it happened.
Bleep, go to hell, Charlie. I said that and Charlie looked at me and shook his head like, "No, no, you didn't." Yeah, we did. What else should I have said about Eric Bieniemy? I gave full coverage.
You were late to it. I mean, I saw the news come up on my phone on the way in. And
like
I was,
2 minutes
I was listening
before,
to your show, waiting.
Beard is the producer.
Beard, for you to talk about
listen,
it.
Charlie,
I counted down
listen
the
to
minutes.
Me.
I can't hear what
listen
you're
to
saying
me.
To me right
listen,
now.
Turn off his mic so he can hear me. Give him your headphones. Listen, Charlie. I'm hosting the show. So unlike some
and
people.
And I'm derailing it.
Unlike some people who sit in the studio on Wednesdays, I'm not on Twitter the whole damn time.
Got a notification, actually.
Oh,
okay.
Eat my shorts.